Let us all say amen. I want to thank Brother Bailey for leading us in those hymns on this afternoon and this morning. Thank the brothers that offered up prayers in our behalf, the one that read scriptures on this afternoon. I want to just say good afternoon to you. I think as one person said earlier on the call here in Houston, it's a little wet outside, but however, we still want to teach and preach the Word of God. And so wherever you are listening from on this afternoon, whether you be locally with us in Houston or for those that have called in to be with us on this call, we want to welcome you to this call. And those that may not be Christians according to the Bible and not members of the Lord's Church, the Church of Christ, we want to say to you, welcome you. You are our VIPs, our very important persons on this afternoon, and we want to extend to you a welcome hand to be with us on this afternoon as we preach from the Word of God. We continue, and we started on last week looking at 1 John, and we will continue that on this afternoon. And if you are, again, visiting with us, we want you to know some things that I like to share concerning Jeremiah, the book of Jeremiah, Old Testament, and chapter 10, verse 23, where Jeremiah acknowledged, "O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps." So Jeremiah recognized when it comes to a spiritual walk, that he could not direct himself, he knew it was not in him. And so Jesus, for those in the New Testament, in Matthew chapter 6 and the verses number 33, Jesus, when he gave the sermon, many call the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew chapter 5 through 7, he said in chapter 6 and verse number 33, he said to them, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." So Jesus prioritized what Jeremiah was looking for when he said that one should seek the kingdom of God first and then the righteousness of God. And we find that that actually came into fruition in Acts chapter 2 in verse 47, when man had the first opportunity to become Christians, to become members of the kingdom of God or the Church of Christ. In Acts 2:47, the Bible says, "Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." So those that are saved, we'll talk about that on this afternoon, have been added to the church. That's what Luke wrote in Acts chapter 2 and the verses number 47. So the kingdom of God is none other than the church of Christ, and one is added to the church through their obedience to the Word of God. It is the preacher's responsibility this afternoon to share with you that manner in which one should do in obedience to God. And so in 1 John chapter 1, we want to speak this afternoon from the subject, "But if we walk in the light." But if we walk in the light. I want to thank Brother Brooks this morning for his sermon today, and it kind of blends with the message this afternoon. So those that were note takers on this morning and on this afternoon, you'll see the consistency of the Word of God being preached by both Brother Brooks and myself on this afternoon. So the Apostle John writes to Christians concerning the manner of their walk with God the Father. The manner of their walk with God the Father. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5, thank again for the reading of Scripture. John said, "This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." That God is light. Light describes to us the basic nature of God. Turn with me to Genesis, the first chapter, so we can look at and see as the Bible opens up, the Word of God, it describes for us, allows us to see in Genesis chapter 1 and beginning at verse number 2, we want to be able to see from the Word of God where God talks about light and darkness. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 2, "And the earth was without form and void," or containing nothing, "and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters." God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. Notice now, God said that the Bible says, Moses wrote, that it was good. And God divided, or God separated, the light from the darkness. So we see that light is good, and God separated light from darkness. Darkness is the opposite of light. God is light. God is good. Darkness represents sin. And Romans chapter 2 and verse number 4, the Bible lets us know that God is good. And it talks to it, it gives attributes of God in Romans chapter 2. And the verse is number 4. Paul said, "Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance." So when you talk about God is light, we're talking about the goodness of God. God is light. God is good. Light is good. And so John said, back in 1 John, but if, we say, or if we say, excuse me, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, John says, we lie and do not the truth. John said, if we say, those of us that profess to be Christians, if we say we have a relationship with God and our Christian walk is in darkness, then we lie. In other words, you are offering a misleading impression. And John said, we do not practice. The word do here means not to practice the truth, or you are not exhibiting faithfulness to the word of God. John said, if we say we have fellowship with God and we don't walk, our Christian walk is in darkness. John said, know this, that you lie and you do not the truth. You're not faithful to the word of God. Notice in John, as we talk about John, in John chapter 8 and verse number 12. John chapter 8 and the verse is number 12. The Bible says, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Jesus says here that he is the light of the world. And if a person is following him, he shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. To have a relationship with Christ, it requires an obedient heart. The Christian must practice being a Christian in their lives. Christianity is not something that we put on Sunday morning. We come to worship service, and then we leave the building. It's like a tie. We take it off and lay it down. That's not Christianity. That's not walking in the light, because the Bible says, but if we walk in the light. But what is that? What is that? What is that? What is walking in the light? John said, verse number 7, our subject title, but if we walk in the light, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So I want us to know that this walk is a continuing walk. This is not, again, it's not something that I only put on when others are looking at me. It's not something that I wear on Sunday morning. It is a continuous walk. It is a lifestyle. Notice in Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, and the verse is number 16. As we open up what if we walk in the light means and how the Bible teaches us from the word of God what it means. When Paul wrote to the Galatians, in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16, Paul said, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Brother Brooks mentioned that this morning, Galatians 5 and verse 16. Galatians 5, 16. He says, I want to say to you, if you walk in the Spirit of God, are influenced by the Spirit of God, you shall not fulfill or give in to the lust of the flesh. What is the lust of the flesh? The lust of the flesh are those impulses, those urges that our body has. That if we're not careful, we'll fulfill them. We'll give in to them. Yeah. So how does the Christian handle not fulfilling the lust of the flesh? What do I do, Brother Stroud, with those impulses? What do I do with them urges that I have that's in me that want to come out? Well, Paul said in Romans chapter 6, teach from the Word of God. In verse number 12, remember now our subject is, but if we walk in the light, how do I handle those impulses, those urges that I got in me? Well, Paul said in the Roman letter, in Romans chapter 6 and verse 12, he said, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it, the body, in the lust thereof. Paul said, let not sin have a place of influence in your body, that you obey your body and the desires of your body. Let me say this. And that's why it's important that we study the Word of God, that you know the Word of God. Now, every desire that the body has must pass by or be filtered through the mind. Every desire that the body has must pass by or be filtered through the mind. When you get them urges, when you get them impulses to do something that's not proper in the eyesight of God, it has to go through your mind. Then the mind has to decide what to do with the impulses or the urges. This is where walking in the Spirit keeps the Christian from sinning. Watch this. Romans chapter 8. Paul told them later on, after he identified the fact that don't you allow sin to influence your mortal body. Man, don't let your body want to do stuff and you obey it. But he answered it later on in Romans 8, verse 5. Paul said, for they that are after the flesh do mind. Notice now your mind, the things of the flesh. That's why I say the things that your body want to do has to go through your mind. Paul said, if you have a fleshly mind, he'll define it later in the next verse. Then what happens is them urges, when you want to drink, when you want to party, when you want to smoke, when you want to commit fornication, when you want to do those things, if your mind is fleshly, you're going to do what your body want to do. Yeah. Yeah. That's what is going to happen. But they that are after the Spirit the things of the Spirit. There. For to be carnal minded is death, verse 6. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Young people, when you're out there and that young man, young girl, want to do something with you and he calls himself a Christian, he's a member of the church, be careful. Be careful, because he may have a mind to do the things of the flesh. But if you are spiritual, you let him know, I'll see you when I see you. Why? Because you are spiritual. You're not carnal-minded. Yeah. Carnal-minded individuals, when you get both of them together, that's why we have the issue with pregnancy among those in the church that call themselves Christians, because you've given in to the flesh. Paul said this, but to be, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. See, let me say this. You know, well, how do I know if I'm fleshly, if I'm carnal? How do I know if I'm spiritual? Well, you'll know you're spiritual and you'll know you're carnal how you respond to the law of God. Your brother Bush said this morning about Bible class, and we're thankful for the one that acknowledged the fact that I haven't been attending Wednesday Bible class, and I want to repent of that. Well, I want to say to you, to those some of us that's out there now, do you attend Wednesday night Bible class, or have you simply forsaken it because no one can see you at the building? I'm talking about Highland Heights and wherever you may attend. Yeah. See, that's the, you know, people, when you say things like, why do we have to come to Wednesday night Bible class? That's a carnal-minded person. Because a spiritual-minded person wants to hear from the Word of God, wants to be taught the Word of God. When you have to say, well, show me Bible for coming to service on Sunday night, that's a carnal-minded person. Now, I can answer that with the Bible. That ain't no problem. But that's a carnal-minded person. That's a carnal-minded, but a spiritual-minded person, that ain't no issue with them. Let me drop this while I'm here. When you say, do I have to come to service on Sunday night and on Wednesday night? Well, I can just go to, I can show you all the scripture I want to say, but I can just go, I'll just show you, because I know there's some that don't come on Sunday night and don't come on Wednesday night, and you want to justify yourself. You want to say, give me Bible. I can give you as much as I want to, but I'm going to just give you, since I'm there, since I'm traveling across this surface, let me give you some Bible. Look first at Hebrews chapter 13 and the verses number 7. Hebrews 13, I'm showing you the difference between a carnal mind and a spiritual mind, because a carnal mind wants to do that which is pleasing to God. In Hebrews 13, the Hebrew writer said, in verse number 7, the Hebrew writer said, remember them which have the rule, and the word rule here means simply to lead over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God. Yeah. Who have spoken unto you the word of God? Myself, Brother Brooks, have spoken unto you the word of God. Now, watch what the scripture says. Whose faith followed, considering the end of their conversational behavior. Do you see me on follow my faith? I'm there on Sunday morning. I'm there on Sunday night and then on Wednesday. The Bible teaches you, follow my faith, follow my faith. What is me and Brother Brooks' faith? Simply follow our faith. Follow it. Follow it, our faith. Follow our faith. Follow our faith. And then those that like to, well, I know you got some of them, and you on the call it a hopefully. And look at James 4:17. James says, therefore, to him, talking to, who he talking to? He's talking to you, to answer me, to him that knoweth to do good, and doeth it not, to him is a sin. Is going to evening worship service good? Is anything wrong with going to Bible class on Wednesday night or getting on the call on Wednesday night? James said to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. If I want to walk with the Lord, John is talking about walking in the light. Not walking in darkness. Walking in the light. As he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Notice now. John said, two things that John says comes out of walking in the light. John said, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. It is the shed blood of the Son of God that cleanses us from sin for the Christian. As long as the Christian walks in the light, this cleansing process is happening all the time or constantly. Let me say this. The blood of Christ, you know, we talked about where they say Moderna is 95% and Pfizer is 94% and Johnson & Johnson have a certain percentage of efficacy. The blood of Christ efficacy is 100%. It ain't 99%, excuse my English. The blood of Christ, John said, is 100% effective against all sin as long as we walk in the light. The sacrifice that Christ made on the cross and shedding his blood is 100% effective against all sin if we are obedient to the word of God. Now, John said, that's if we walk in the light. Now, John said, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. No one is, no one lives above sin. We all sin. However, the Christian wants to grow in their walk with the Lord. As I said on numerous occasions, that we walk with the Lord and we sin less. Why? Because of the fact we have the word of God in our minds And when those urges, when those impulses come, we have the Word of God. The Word of God in us to influence us. It, the Word of God becomes the stop sign to the Christian. Yeah, but if you don't have no Word in you, if you're not walking in the light, as John talks about, then you have a, for many Christians, there is a yield sign, not a stop sign. If we slow down in what we're doing, but we don't stop what we're doing. Well, the Word of God is designed to stop you. Yeah. We don't practice it. Don't mean that we don't sin, but we don't practice sin. That's what John said in the verse when he talked about us do not the truth. That mean, that word do not mean to practice sin. And John says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin. And notice now, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, the word confess here means I'm admitting the guilt that I'm accused of. It's an inward conviction. I see myself. And I go to God, who is faithful and reliable. God is a righteous God. God will forgive me of our sin. That's what John wanted us to know. If we confess them, those are the, for the Christian, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. That's what God would do. That's what God would do. Cleanse us of all unrighteousness. But if we walk in the light, that's the subject today. I'm trying to, the walk is a Christian lifestyle. One that God can trust me to be faithful to him. My faithfulness to God. And as I said, look, follow the faith. Follow it. Yeah, and as I've been prayed before and asked before, you ought to be able to follow your leadership. Yeah, we are sinning. When we do, we confess those sins also. But there ought to be some consistency in our lives that you can follow, because the Hebrew writer says, follow their faith. They've spoken the word to you, follow their faith. And then John says, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. So we don't say that we don't sin. We are sinners also. However, our sin, as I talked about before, we are not alien sinners separated from God. We are sinners that have obeyed God. Yeah, we are saved from our sin. Yeah, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, you know, we are saved from our past sins. We are saved from our present sins. And we are saved from our future. Yeah, that's because we are walking with the Lord. We are walking with the Lord, and so God saves us. Yeah, and Romans, let me just share this with you. In Romans 6:3, know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. Notice why the Bible says, verse 2, God forbid, how shall we that are now we are dead to sin? Living on. What God does is saves us from our past sin. And then, presently, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and the verse is number 18. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, that's present, it is the power of God. There. We're saved from our present. We're being saved. We are being saved. And then in Romans chapter 5 and verse number 10, Romans 5 and verse number 10, the Bible says, for if we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. So God saves us from our past sins. God saves us in the present. God will save us in the future if we walk in the light. If we walk in the light. If we walk in the light. So John, as I close, verse number 10, 1 John 1 and 10. We don't say we don't sin, because if we do that, we make God a lie. Then his word is not in us. And if you're here this afternoon and you've been giving in to your impulses and your urges, and you've been just out there doing whatever you thought you was big enough to do, well, now you have a chance to come to God doing about faith. You need to know, as I've just shared, that Christ shed his blood on the cross. He died on that cross for our sin. They took him down off, they beat him first. He suffered. Then they nailed him to a cross where he died on the cross. They took him down and buried him in a tomb. Fact number 2. He rose again the third day. Fact number 3. You must believe that. If you believe that, you've heard it, you believe it. You need to repent. That's the about faith. Now you need to turn from that worldly life you've been living and turn to God. And I want to say to some of us that are even in the church, in the Lord, stop allowing carnality or worldliness to lead you. Stop following those impulses and the urges where you do whatever you want to do. When you say stuff like, you can't tell me what to do, that's carnality. Anytime someone tries to help you with living more faithful, you ought to be thankful that someone brought it to your attention. But for the non-Christian, you turn to God. You then confess what you ought to believe in your heart, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then you are water baptized for the forgiveness of all your past sin. You find that in John chapter 3. I'm using John as our writer on this afternoon. John chapter 3 and the verse number 3, when Nicodemus came to Jesus by night, Jesus told him in verse number 3 of John, the gospel according to John, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, and that's a spiritual birth, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You can't see the church of Christ until you are born again. And how am I born? He said in verse 5, a man be born of the water and of the Spirit. You are obedient to the Spirit of God and what the Word of God has said, and you are born in water. And then the Lord as I said in Acts 2:47, will add you to the church. And if you're on the call and you say, well, what church? Well, Romans 16:16 gives the description of the church when Paul, in his letter to the Romans, says, salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. But if we walk in the light, I hope I share with you from the Word of God, if I'm not doing it, how I can do it from the Word of God. I thank you very much for your listening ear on this afternoon. I turn you over to our song leader. Thank you.